from this computer.
Okay. It is 5 o'clock on October 12th, and I'd like to call this meeting of the Tacoma Arts Commission to order. We gratefully acknowledge that we rest on the traditional lands of the Puyallup people, where they make their home and speak the Lushootseat language. I would like to, I'm going to try to remember all of the co-chairs parts, so just bear with me. I'd like to approve the consent agenda, which includes the meeting agenda for 10-12-20, as well as the meeting minutes from 9-14-20. Do I have a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, how is everybody? Would you like to share, all of you, or would anyone like to share any fun things that happened over the last month? Because it's still kind of crazy, and I will share, because I don't know if you saw, my teaching partner is a stencil artist, and for Lincoln's bags of fun projects or fun materials, we spray painted 200 out of 300 with Lincoln Abe's face on them. So the first 200 get a cool bag, the last 100 should have been there earlier. You got tired. So that's kind of my fun thing. I kind of feel like I'm in class and I want to don't want to call anybody, but
I'll go, Heather, so you don't have to call on us. We launched virtual art sessions a couple weeks ago, wondering how it was going to go, and we have over 335 participants so far, and the numbers are going up. So we've got 28 classes a week. People are really excited to be back in a creative space and working on getting in-branch programming back in our community centers starting in November. The ratio is still 1-5 in a great big dance studio, but I'll take it. So I feel like we're finally reconnecting with our communities and offering arts programs and serving a need. So that feels good.
Lynn, can you hear me?
I can.
I just want to say thank you and to the Y for all the things that you guys do for our community, sincerely.
Thanks. That's very sweet of you, Wanda. Thank you.
Who else? Anyone else would like to share anything that's gone on in the last month? Go for it.
I had a pottery sale, and can you guys hear me okay? I just got new earbuds. Pottery sale in my backyard. There were 8 of us, all local potters, and we had like socially distant tables, which I was really nervous about, but I think it was fine and safe, and we had a bodyguard at the gate. And we raised $900 for Nourish Food Bank, which is getting matched. Someone has a corporate connection, so it'll be an $1,800 donation when it's all said and done. So that feels really good. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Awesome. Thank you. Anything else fun?
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
This is Michael. I'll share. This is purely self-serving. Nothing is as good as Sarah's. But it's rare now that I do this administrative work that I remember that I'm still a writer. And, this afternoon I actually got word that one of my essays that came out last year was named a notable essay of the year in Best American Sports Writing. So on one hand, it means absolutely nothing. On the other hand, it's actually a pretty good thing. So it's my artistic good news for the day.
That's awesome. Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. That's exciting.
All right. Anybody else have anything fun?
I saw some cool stuff about you, James, at working over at Charles Wright. Yeah. Congratulations. I hope you're enjoying that. They're lucky to have you.
Yeah. I really love it over there. And I just got my time there extended a little bit more, so that's really nice. I guess I can share something fun. but it's also terrible. But isn't that par for the course for 2020?
Yes.
I hosted, not this Saturday, but last Saturday.
Oh no.
We lost you, James. Can you hear us?
It's like the worst part to stop on. I'm super into it.
Cliffhanger.
All right. As soon as he comes back, we'll have him go back. So while we're waiting for him to reconnect, I just wanted to share there are still applications available, or there's still positions available for the Tacoma Arts Commission for the next go round. So please share that information. I know it's on the Facebook page and also in your email. So share with whomever you know, and we'll kind of get James back.
Due tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, due tomorrow. All right. I think that was all of my chair's notes. We'll get James back and he'll finish the story. All right. So we have a presentation on climate justice from climate justice, not Justin, from Kristen. Is it Lynette?
It's Lynette, but whatever.
All right. I'm going to give you the floor.
Okay, cool. I'm going to share my screen in my presentation. Although, so hi, everybody. It's great to be here. I'm Christy Lyon with the city's Office of Sustainability, and I've been with the office for 11 years now. And I want to spend a little bit of time with you today talking about some of the climate impacts that Tacoma is facing, is going to be facing, briefly cover some real life local solutions, share a little bit about our climate justice planning process, and then ask you all to share your sustainable city story in a brief exercise. So before we start, hey Naomi, you want to test out that poll?
Yes, I will.
All right, so just curious, there's no right or wrong, what's your sense of how much progress Tacoma is making on sustainability, climate, resiliency, and justice? That's a lot in there. Everyone can see the poll. We'll give it like 5 or 10 more seconds. I don't know where we're at, Naomi. I think
we're at 14 of 19. So if anyone else wants to chime in, now's your time to do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see what we got.
And share results. There we go.
Okay. Yeah, you got. You know, I'm again just very curious of the audience who I'm talking to, where they feel that we're at. Okay, great. Thank you. So most people are somewhat in the middle range. Oh, come on, move forward. All right. So I'm going to, talk a little bit about these next few slides. I'm going to move pretty quickly on impacts to Tacoma. I'm going to kind of skip over climate change is real and it's caused from our carbon dioxide increasing in the atmosphere, and really just go down to what are we going to face here in Washington and Tacoma. So it's all about local, it's all about warming, right? And since the Industrial Revolution, Tacoma on average has already risen 1.3 degrees Fahrenheit. And if we don't change the trajectory of our emissions, we could be up to an annual average of 5.3 degrees Fahrenheit by the turn of the century. And this is, again, important to understand because that warmer air doesn't just mean more beautiful sunny days. It means more disrupted and more extreme climate. So it means more very hot days. By mid-century, if greenhouse gas emissions continue, the average year in Washington will be warmer than the hottest year of the 20th century. And this could bring challenges to agriculture, pests and disease. More hot days could increase hospitalization and calls for emergency services. It could stress, bring warmer temperatures to our salmon-bearing rivers and streams and more frequent harmful algal blooms. And it's not even happening equally across our city. Pockets of heat islands are more severe in some of our underserved neighborhoods. Because of that warmer weather, we're having less precipitation fall as snow and more as rain. So you can see that these are two images of Mount Rainier with the receding glaciers the last 50 years. So this will impact reduced water storage, irrigation shortages, and then winter and summer recreation losses, which have a really, really large economic impact to those as well. Those warmer weather or warmer temperatures also increases the possibility of having lower summer stream flows because that snow that normally wouldn't melt until summer is now melting earlier because there's less of it. So this could impact our summer hydropower. It could bring an increased conflict in other water resources and have negative effects on salmon populations. We've already seen in the last 60 years that the timing of peak spring stream flow has shifted earlier by up to 20 days, and many snowmelt influenced rivers. It also means higher winter stream flow. These are all photos from Washington State of increased river flooding that has costly stormwater management and flood protection implications. And again, the salmon, it could impact the reds in the wintertime. And then we can't forget about sea level rise. So our seas here in the state in Washington have already risen 8 inches. And as global temperatures rise and the oceans warm slightly and expand, the ice caps and glaciers melt and more precipitation falls as rain instead of snow. But it's not just those sea level rise, but you also need to add on the high tide and the wave run up. Lots of things contribute to places getting inundated and flooded that weren't designed for that. Here's a map of Tacoma that shows that by 2050, so in the dark blue is where land is already vulnerable to extreme high tides. And extreme high tides, you know, only happen maybe 5 or 10 times a year. But those parts of our land are getting wet from the ocean during those times. But in light blue represents what could happen in 2050 if our seas rise 19 inches. That is a lot of our economic engine that will be wet during those extreme high tides in just 30 years. And for those of you that were around in Tacoma in 2015 might remember seeing on the news that river that was like flowing down those steps into the stadium bowl. This rain that we're getting, normally our infrastructure is set up for like, you know, drizzle over longer periods of time, but we're seeing that we're getting more intense rainfall events. If you guys can even remember pre-COVID back in January, we had a really significant event, a day where we had some major flooding in some of our intersections and other infrastructure. And again, our infrastructure and our pipes were sized for a little bit of rain over a long time, not inches of rain in a few hours. And then our air quality and wildfire smoke. You know, climate change is literally in our faces and our lungs and our hearts. And this is especially dangerous for at-risk populations and those that can't get indoors with good filters, and certainly made worse by COVID vulnerabilities. It was really terrifying this summer and dangerous for many people. So scientists say that what happened in 2015 with our severe droughts and what happened this year with the wildfire smoke is kind of like, could be considered a postcard of the future. Like, this may be what our years look like more often than not. And there are really significant health and economic impacts from that. So here's just a little bit of a snippet of the losses from recreation and fisheries and agriculture because of what happened in 2015. I want to touch real briefly on why 1.5 degrees centigrade is so important. If current rates continue, the Earth's carbon budget for limiting warming to this will be used up in about 10 years. And even if countries around the world limit their near-term emissions, the amount pledged under the Paris Climate Agreement, global warming is expected to surpass 1.5 degrees, at least for a period of time. And why that's so important is that many global systems may not be able to right themselves above 1.5 to 2 degrees, and negative feedback loops could amplify other systems. So scientists warn that one such tipping point, such as the release of methane from thawing permafrost, may fuel others, leading to a cascade. So like a cascade of tipping points could occur because, for example, the melting of Arctic sea ice amplifies heating by exposing dark oceans that absorb more sunlight. This may increase the melting of Greenland ice and permafrost areas. So these planetary systems, when it reaches 1.5 to 2, they can't come back right themselves. So all this is so important. Why back in 1995, 195 countries endorsed the Paris Climate Agreement, including our mayor, Mayor Strickland, back in 2018. But we can choose another path, and we must. This is a photo from the youth climate strike that happened here in Tacoma last September. And why I think it's why it's really important, we must do it for everyone, but especially for our frontline community members, those that caused the least amount of contribution to our warming, yet are going to feel the effects first and worst. And while we need this marching in the street, it's going to take more than that to create lasting change. But I really believe that Tacoma can lead by example. And we can solve this problem, and solutions already exist. Like, we know what to do already, we can do it. What we need is systems change, first and foremost, and then individual action. And if we think of this as an opportunity for healthier, safer neighborhoods that can create investments in clean jobs and industries and our economic systems, affordable and reliable transportation, like, all of this we can do. I'm going to share just a couple slides of some images of things that our city has already done. So increasing our tree canopy, we've got a great free tree coupon program. The city's invested in electric vehicles. You see the picture of the Link Light Rail going in, expanded there. And we are currently capturing methane from our wastewater treatment plant to power our solid waste trucks and garbage trucks. Up on that upper left photo is a picture of our relatively new employee bike parking garage down at the Tacoma Municipal Building. and a picture of a detached accessory dwelling unit that's now legal to put in Tacoma. The bottom left is a picture of a LEED green building built by Metro Parks as the Eastside Community Center. And then one really amazing investment that we have is Tacoma Power's hydropower. Well, it does harm salmon. It is 98% carbon free and relatively inexpensive. We can do so much with that power to make our whole economy clean. And then I want to briefly talk about what we're doing to prepare and adapt. So this is a picture on the top of Owen Beach, if you guys can see that. So Metro Parks is going through a revisioning of Ruston Way and Owen Beach, knowing that that they really needed to improve the beach for equity and access and need for regular infrastructure improvements. They also knew that they needed critical upgrades. And so they looked at what was going to be happening with sea level rise and storm surge and waves and all that, and really realized they needed to push everything back up that hill away from the water. So that's how they're planning to redevelop Owen Beach. The bottom photo is a photo of a flood wall that we put in around our central treatment plant down in the Tide Flats, probably maybe 7 or 8 years ago. Cost several $1 million to put this in, but that really critical piece of infrastructure was threatened by flooding from the Puyallup River, in part because of climate change impacts. So we're doing both. We're thinking about mitigation and adaptation. This is a photo, again, of that climate march. Shortly after that, last December, the City Council adopted unanimously a climate emergency resolution where they said that the City Council hereby expresses its support for initiatives to foster a citywide climate emergency mobilization effort that will result in the goal of a just transition to a carbon neutral economy and accelerate adaptation and resilience strategies in preparation for intensifying climate impacts. One of the things that that plan did was call, what that resolution did was call out development of a new environmental and climate action plan that really lays out how the city is gonna meet our climate goals, our 2050 climate goals, having equity and social justice play an integral role, and including a green economy section. So again, I just wanna mention that our climate justice action planning is involving both parts. So the climate mitigation, what actions do we need to take to reduce our emissions? And then how do we need to adapt or prepare for the changes that are here and that are going to intensify? Overlaying all of that with that equity lens on both sides of it. I think the resolution the City Council passed this June, the anti-racism systems transformation resolution, in my mind, it really is linked up really well with the climate emergency resolution calling for transformation. All of these systems need transforming. So this is a year-long planning process. So we're just at the beginning phases of this now. I'm trying to get out to most of the different commissions and have a conversation with them. So we're in kind of phase one now, where two of the areas that we're really focused on as well are creation of climate ambassadors. So we are going through training and orientation right now with about 35 or 40 community members, most of them from those frontline communities, to go out and bring back stories and share concerns and barriers and hopes from their own communities, as well as the creation of a brand new environmental justice leaders work group. So those 10 members just had their first meeting this past Saturday and are going to be working to develop and provide recommendations and develop their own section of this new plan, which we're hoping to come out next September. Okay, so that is the part of my presentation. Now what I want, this will probably take maybe 7 or 8 minutes. I want to get your guys' thoughts on what a sustainable Tacoma could look like for you. So in 2030, so if you guys can close your eyes for a minute and imagine it's 2030. So how old are you then? How old are your family members? How big are your kids if you have them? Get situated in your future self. What does it feel like to be 10 years older? How do your hands feel? How do your shoulders feel? What's your hair look like? What does your life look like? What are you doing for work if you are? Now imagine what's around you. Where do you live? What's outside the window? What's down the street? All right, now we're going to ask you if you can go either on your phone or another browser tab to menti.com. If you go there, I'll share that password code for you. Let me change my screen to get that one. Sorry, let me figure out.
I think we could see it on that last screen.
Could you? No, it wasn't.
6219.
Oh, something. Yes, that's the code, yes. I'm trying to get to the actual Menti. Let me stop sharing a second. I'm sorry. Stop sharing. Okay, here we go. So 6219933. Is everybody there?
Can you say it one more time? I'll just put it in the chat.
Yep. 6219933.
Thank you.
There you go, great. Okay, so you guys are in 2030. You know what your body feels like and your life looks like. Fill in the blank on this sentence, just with a word or two or a short phrase. The place I live has. We'll go like 15 more seconds. Great, it's looking like a place I might want to be in. All right, we're gonna go to the next screen. To get home from my job, I. Rollerblade, yeah. Okay, 10 more seconds. I think there are 4 more of these, so there are 6 total. Okay. A lot of active transportation there. Go. In 2020, blank was an issue in Tacoma. Everything in caps. A lot. Like 10 more seconds. Oh, those feel heavy. Now that has changed because see a lot of care there. Okay. In 2030, I finally get to blank. Retire, couple retirees. Oh, a few, way more than a couple. We'll go 10 more seconds. In 2030, I finally get to blank. You guys can see that that's a comma because great, we'll go like 10 more seconds. Any last folks? Great. Okay, so these next ones, thank you guys for filling in those stories. They were great. They, that's the kind of 2030 I want to live in too. So I think most of you know that when we are trying to really hear from voices that we traditionally haven't heard from, it's really important that we know who we're engaging with. All voices are valid and wanted, but we really want to make sure that we're capturing an highlighting voices we haven't heard from before. So, and all of our engagement, we're going to try to capture some demographic information. So I've got maybe four or five of these questions. If you can help take the time to do that. Give it another 5 seconds. Okay. So we're going to be doing this. We're going to be teaching our climate ambassadors how to, again, how to collect and report back stories and survey information. We're going to really let our ambassadors engage their own communities in however they want. We just want to help them facilitate that. And this is one of the tools. All right. Especially in this first phase of our engagement, where it's really kind of at that bigger picture, what are your concerns, what are your hopes? And then in the springtime, we're going to come back with some of the analysis of, all right, these are some of the scenarios we could take to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. Community, what do you think about these strategies in these scenarios? All right, 5 more seconds on that one. Okay. All right. We're also hoping to engage some artists with our plan. I was reading, I don't remember whose plan it was, whose climate action plan, where they had commissioned a local artist to help do illustrations for their plan. So it just looked more like a storybook, their plan did, which I thought was really great. And I feel like some of these stories that we're going to be collecting could be turned into illustrations.
We might be able to help you with that.
Yes. All right. Well, that is all I had. And I'm not sure the full extent of your agenda, but it has been 30 minutes. So I'm sorry we didn't get a little bit more like dialogue around this, but I'm happy to come back at another time, or if you have more time now, Naomi, I'm not sure what your agenda is, but thank you all for your attention and for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know if commissioners had questions for Christy at all. You could.
Thank you for laying that out so beautifully, and I'm looking forward to seeing what transpires, and I appreciate how you're designing the survey and the study this year. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, thank you all for your service on the Arts Commission as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christy.
Let us know when you're ready to hire artists. We got good lists and stuff.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You guys have a good evening.
You too. All right. So we have a few action items. And then I would love to hear James's story. I know, I'm all over the place today. All right. So I'd like to do our action items. So we have two. The first is our Rapid Mural Program artwork.
Okay. Thank you, Heather. I'll cover this one. So you may or may not be familiar with the rapid mural program that SpaceWorks and the Chamber of Commerce put together really rapidly at the beginning of COVID. And they have a roster of artists that are painting a lot of the plywood on the boarded up retail spaces and such downtown, Sixth Avenue, different places. And so the city parking group and we, Rebecca can speak to this too if she's still on here, have been working on an area. It's called the 10th Street Hill Climb. It's a tunnel and it's been boarded up for a while. It's gonna become a bike cage, but in the interim, there's plywood on either side and the parking group made it available to the Rapid Mural Program. So we've been, I wanna make, because it's city property, it's your role to weigh in on you know, yes, there's artwork and we think it's, you know, we'd like to see XYZ happen. And we have an actual design for that's slated to go on the commerce side of the tunnel. And it's by artist Nori Kimura. And this is his design. And so the action today is to vote on whether or not you would like to see this placed in that location to approve this design. And then there'll be another one coming along for the Pacific side. We don't yet know which artist will be selected for that one. This will not go into the collection. It's a temporary piece and it will be up for as long as it needs to be until it transitions over to the bike cage at a future date that we're working on.
All right, do you want me to just make a motion?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'd like to. Can I ask a question? I thought he had already painted that. No?
It was painted in the wrong location, and so they are moving it to this one.
Oh.
All right. I move to accept the mural as presented in the 12th Street location.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the ayes have it. Thank you. It's lovely, I like it.
I love it. I love her hair.
Okay, thank you. We also have our empathy mural.
And let me get myself, let me get the right image up for you guys. Okay, so Nathaniel Wagner, it has contacted us and would like to put this mural up. This is kind of similar to the SpaceWorks mural you just saw, in that the artist is wanting to do it. It's at no cost to us, so the artist is actually going to do it on their own dime. And this is a project that he's passionate about. And this is a city-owned building. It's as part of the Foss Waterway Development Authority currently, but since it's a city building, we want to make sure that you all have a chance to weigh in. He does have to get approval from the Foss Waterway Development Authority as well beforehand. But basically, if you all approve this, and he'll be able to do it himself, this mural and the building itself will come down at some point. But it would be a temporary mural that he's kind of offering to the city. Any questions at all about it that folks have?
I have a question.
Yes.
Well, it raises some concerns for me in terms of the, you know, people who have the income or the ability, you know, just the financial ability to do a project like this without charging, or is there more background to it that can help explain that? you know, as opposed to artists in Tacoma who just don't have the means to do that.
Yeah, I think, so I think he comes from a, he comes from kind of a graffiti background as well. And I think he's moving more into more of a legit pathway, I guess, too. We had worked with him on a project for Metro Parks as well. I think he's interested in kind of filling out his, working on his portfolio and also doing projects that are maybe more self-directed that kind of fit within his body of work more. So I don't know. I think he comes from a tradition that you, even if folks aren't, don't have a ton of resources, you know, a lot of graffiti artists do pieces throughout the city, you know, whatever scale they can afford. So I don't know. That's definitely a concern. I guess I don't, that's kind of a rambling non-answer to your question.
Rebecca,
I think that's definitely a legitimate comment.
Rebecca, it says a series of visual pieces that focus on the word empathy. So what are the, how does this fit into the other things? And if we take this, would we, does that imply that we're taking the other pieces as well? And what is the medium of this? Is it?
It's a temporary painted wall mural. So it's, I don't know what the other pieces are that he has planned. I think he would like to do a series of these throughout the city. We wouldn't be, if you accepted this today, we wouldn't be accepting whatever else he wants to do. This is a one-off.
You know,
this is what he's presented, so this is what we'd accept. And if he wanted to do another series, I think in his mind he'd like to do several of these around town.
And who is the artist? I'm sorry.
His name is Nathaniel. He goes by Nathaniel Wagner. Also Jake. He goes by Nathaniel. Jake Wagner is his, Nathaniel's his middle name. Jake Wagner is his, or the names on either side of his middle name. He's a local artist. He's done other murals around, he's done several at Point Reston as well. I don't have his portfolio up. I think I have it from a submission, so if you guys wanted to see it, I could show it, but he's a local artist that we've worked with in the past. This kind of came out of, I think he wants to, I think he wants to put this message out. The way he described it to me is he wants to put this message out kind of in this time when we're all maybe needing a little more empathy. And it's kind of a passion project for him.
Rebecca, clarification. This is coming to us because it is, the building is city property. Is that correct?
Yep, the building's city property. It will come down at some point. Again, it's temporary. We would not be taking this. We're not voting to take this into our collection by any means. This is just, since you all are advisory to the city council and this is a city building and it's visible from the right of way too.
So if he's doing a series of other pieces, those wouldn't necessarily come to us unless he's proposing to do them on city property as well.
Correct? Yes. I don't know what his plan is for those other pieces, and he would have to, if they're on city property, he'd need to come to us for each one.
Mm-hmm. And it's also the Foss Waterway Development Authority. So he approached the FWDA, who's in partnership with us. They would like to see it. The channel is to come through here for your approval to put it on a city building. So as far as the neighbors and the community in which it sits, they are in support of it, just as an additional line through line to how it got to us.
Well, I move that we accept this mural as presented.
All right, do we have a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, the ayes have it. Thank you.
Now, do we get to hear James's story?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a lot of buildup for. And I'm tempting fate because I'm sure as soon as I start the story, I'm going to drop out again. So 2 weeks ago, October 3rd, it was a Saturday. There's a national event called the 24-Hour Comic Day. It's a national challenge where you attempt to draw 24 pages of comics in 24 hours straight. And I was hosting an event venue, digital, through Zoom. Everything was going great. Started at noon. Had some other competitors with me. Was doing good. We were simulcasting it onto YouTube. I got everything done script-wise and blocked out in the first few hours. Around 9 o'clock that night, so I've been working for 9 hours straight. I'm a digital artist primarily, so I work in Vector, in InDesign, or Illustrator. And I was I had finished 6 pages, so up to that point. I was putting the finishing touches on the 6th page when my cursor turned into a spinning weight bar. I'm like, oh, it's just thinking about something, that's fine. And I waited and I kept waiting, and about 30 seconds went by and I'm like, oh, okay, the computer's really thinking about something. And then I looked at my file name and it was Untitled 2. And I realized that I had not saved in 9 hours. And I had not even saved the file to begin with. So I waited 20 minutes. At which point I finally had to give up and I restarted my computer, hoping that the autosave feature would have recovered it, and it did not. So I worked for 9 hours straight in public with nothing to show for it. So I got hammered home a valuable lesson I should have learned a long time ago, which is save and saved often, and always make sure that you're saving your progress. It was a nightmare at the time, but it's going to be a fun story to tell in future years. I just wish I had a chance to save all that work.
Sorry.
You know, it's one of those things that just happens when you do these kinds of events, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes everything just goes radically, radically wrong.
So
on
people,
the plus side, I got a good night's sleep that night.
There you go. So people got to see you in action for 9 hours, though, right?
That's true. That's very true. Yep. And that story exists somewhat on YouTube for posterity. So it's out there somewhere.
Oh heavens. Well, thanks James for sharing that. Oh heavens.
You know, it's a very 2020 story, very 2020 story.
Indeed, all these metaphors we have to live and learn from. Too many. Too many.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's a bummer. I'm glad that you have the video though, so you can at least watch it and see all the cool stuff. I'm gonna have to see it, find it, and check it out. We have some discussion and some updates. There's some important things coming. Naomi, do you want to talk about them?
Oh, sure. Okay.
So the first up is the Commission Executive Committee nomination. So this is the meeting each year where we discuss who is interested in running for chair and vice chair of the commission in the next calendar year for 2021. So we take nominations here and at this meeting, and then we can also take nominations by email before the next meeting, and then at the next meeting is usually when we vote on who the chair and vice chair will be for the coming year. And here's where I normally say, or ask if the current chair and vice chair could give a little overview of what your roles include so that other commissioners know and aren't completely scared off by the thought of those positions. They're not that scary, I don't think. But I'll pass it on to you. Heather, do you want to start with what your role is as chair?
So as chair, and I'm going to step down as chair because 2020 and teaching online is kind of kicking my butt. So it's lovely, but this is like one of the things that I need to let go, but I don't want to let go of the Art Commission too much. So as chair, you basically kind of just run the agenda. So you make sure that you know what's on the agenda, and then you make sure that everything kind of happens in the way that it's supposed to. And then on the outside of that, then you provide some quotes, or maybe you go on City Line or talk in front of people, and you get to kind of share a little bit more about the Art Commission and those venues as well. It's not horribly scary. I totally took this on just to do something a little, actually really outside of my comfort zone. So if you're an extroverted introvert like myself, don't be frightened. You too can do this. It's not too bad. And then if it sweetens the pot, I will give you my notes because I crafted them over listening to many, many art commission meetings before so that I didn't screw up too much. And even though I still forget a lot of things, but I'll give you the quick and dirty notes that I got. But I've also done Rosie's job. I've been the co-chair also, and that's a lot of fun as well. So yeah,
I will say that as someone who stepped into the vice chair role, taking Heather's notes just like changed, and I still reference them during every meeting. And I apologize for my tardiness today. I will say, there are, now that we're in this cyberspace, the role and responsibility of a vice chair, and this is a lesson learned today, is logging in a lot earlier than anticipated so as to avoid any technical difficulties and ensure that, you know, the flow and the agenda kind of goes as it should. It's comforting to hear Heather say that the position is well suited for an introvert extrovert, because I'm definitely an introvert introvert and still find myself in a position where, though I'm not a practicing artist, I fully 100% believe in the power of the arts and how the arts can be integrated into academics, which is my background. Working with youth in out-of-school spaces and how the arts can help facilitate difficult conversations with youth specifically, and how that's used in telling personal story, cultural story, how it's used to memorialize identity and just everything that can be passed on to a different generation. So my interest in my at-large position was essentially that, like, how can I contribute to a community that cares about the arts and is willing to volunteer their time and put forward everything that we have done thus far. So it hasn't happened this year, but my role and responsibility would be to take on the facilitation role if Heather is unable to do so. She has been so diligent with her attendance. I haven't had to do that. Thank you. Big thank you to you.
But also whenever there are opportunities and Heather's not available or there's an issue, I do come in as a backup to provide the quotes and do the interviews and whatnot, as well as promote the commission overall. And I think that's also everybody, like all commissioners' role and responsibilities, to promote the commission, arts organization, not arts organizations, but art events, and really spread the good vibes of what it means to be involved in the arts.
And then beyond, thank you both. The one other thing that the executive committee does, so the chair and vice chair, is there is a once a month meeting about an hour long, right? They have been virtual these days, of course, along with everything else. And that is a meeting with Amy and myself. And we kind of talk about what the upcoming agenda would look like and sort of determine what's going to be on the agenda for the upcoming meeting. So that's the other piece to that. Does anyone have questions about the roles or?
These roles are coming, are looking to be filled when?
For 2021.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've been doing the full calendar year. Voting on a chair and vice chair for every calendar year. So Heather, you are stepping down. Rosie, what is your, and we can have multiple people running. I don't want to like make people think that, but what was your thought on, did you want to still be considered or how are you feeling?
I can still be considered. I also do firmly believe in spreading the love of this role. So by no means I wouldn't want this incumbent position to feel forced. So I do encourage people to share their interests and kind of go for it if that's what you would like to take on.
So we can take nominations here tonight. You could self-nominate, that is fine. Or if you would like to shoot an email to me and nominate yourself or somebody else, you can do that as well. If you nominate somebody, we will check with that person first to make sure that they're actually interested in running and being considered for a seat. And so I'd really encourage you to think about either your own capability and interest in doing this and or other people that are on the commission that you think would make a great candidate. And does anyone want to make any comments right now or nominations right now?
What is the deadline again?
We'll be voting at the November, forget the date. 14th, whatever the November meeting is. So I will want to, like, I can give you guys a couple weeks, but I would like to give a heads up, hopefully the week before our meeting, just so you know who's on the slate. So about 3 weeks, let's say. You got 3 weeks. Okay.
Thank you.
If you have questions about any of the rules, you can always email either of us if you want to like ask something maybe off screen. Feel free to shoot an email and let us know or message me somehow because this is totally not what I thought I would do, but it actually was a lot of fun. I'm kind of like, it's one of those bittersweet like moments to kind of see maybe end, but I'm excited to see kind of who comes in to the new role. So,
Heather, you did a great job.
Yeah, thank you, Heather.
Thank you. All right. So, any Tacoma Arts Month updates and feedback? There's a lot of fun stuff going on for Tacoma Arts Month. So,
yes. All right. Hello, this is Chevy. And well, let's begin with art kits. Those are happening or starting to happen, the distribution of art supply kits in middle and high schools this week. And so, Heather, thank you for being a champion with the art kits. And so we're really excited. We'll have some media coverage in Tacoma Public Schools. We'll have our city photographer and videographer present to capture some of the art kit distribution. So really looking forward to that. Today, a News Tribune article went out about Arts Month, kind of an overview, as well as an interview with a few of our community engagement project artists, Jamika Scott and Tomiko and Taruko Nimura, were also interviewed about their projects, as well as Abby, to speak to Abby's community engagement project that will release on Thursday. So we'll put that in the newsletter, her anthology of poetry that she created working with undocumented youth. That's getting ready to release. She'll also have a video on her YouTube channel, so we'll be able to share that out on social media. And I just want to back up while I'm talking about community engagement projects. Christy Lynette's climate change piece really links right in with Cyre's mural painting. That's another community engagement project. And Cyre's project is a collaboration with a few other artists. And it's all about the question of when will we care for our planet? So that's quite relevant to have Christy's presentation link right into one of our community engagement projects. Jamika Scott, let me know. She'll be sending me some photos in the next day or so that can be shared out on social media. And we did share out a bit on Tomiko and Taruko's Food for Free table care packages. And let's see, my notes for this on my screen locked up, so I'm kind of working from my pen and paper in front of me here. Let's see, we had our first Instagram takeover, so thank you, Sarah. And in the lineup this week, we have Mary Michael and Ben. So we are getting ready to continue the Instagram takeovers. I had a great conversation with Anna about her plan last week. And I'll be having a conversation with Wanda tomorrow. So that's a little bit on the Instagram takeover. Yay. Oh my goodness. Let's see. How about feedback? And from your view, I'm in listen only mode now. Anyone have anything? Anyone talking on mute out there?
Well, has anybody seen the last two that were completed?
Wanda, tell me more about what you mean, what you're talking about.
Well, you said that one was just done. You had the first one. When was it? I thought I heard you say one was already completed.
The Instagram. That we could see.
Oh, yeah. Sarah. Yes, Sarah shared photos and a time-lapse video with us. And so Sarah, okay. Set and done for Arts Month.
It got okay. Quite how a lot of engagement, it seemed like, so.
Yeah, I'll just say that I had a blast because I used the public art map as a way to get to know your city because I'm somewhat new here. And I started out taking pictures of myself with the art, and then I got so engaged in it that I forgot. I realized the other two I forgot, which is fine. It doesn't matter. But I went to one of the pieces that I wanted to see was the Cloud Gateway in Lincoln District. And I went there on a super blustery day, and it was doing its thing, and I was so excited. And it's just taken me a little bit of time because I'm trying to get all the name, you know, all the background information. I'll have it to you right after this meeting. I promise. But it's I actually went on the Prairie Line. None of the things on the Prairie Line, except for the welcome figure, are on my takeover, but I hadn't really ever spent that much time. I mean, it just got me out and it got me engaged. And I went to parts of the city that I hadn't spent a ton of time in. And I also didn't know that that mural on Earthwise was the East. I didn't know that was ours. I learned a ton by going through that map. And I also learned that there are some coordinates that are not correct. So I'll be emailing you, Naomi, that if you go looking for the big lantern in Horatio Law's lantern in Lincoln, it'll take you to this weird turn around, a roundabout, then there's nothing there. So,
oh, wow.
There's, you know, I found, but it's okay. I mean,
good
I was.
Good to know.
I kept going. I was not going to be, I knew it was there somewhere. So, and I did a bunch of shopping while I was at that grocery store at the same time.
Economic impact.
Yes, exactly. Job. There were all these people out. It was an awesome day. So, and I've been super weird about getting out with this COVID-19. So yeah. I appreciate it. It got me out for all the right reasons, and it got me literally all over the city. I was super excited. And I found Christopher Jordan's home court and Kenji Stoll's home court, which was also like, I was a destination. Like, I had to actually text him and say, where is it? Because the address was kind of wrong, but I mean, it was good. I met people, talked to people, was all over the place. It was really good for me. So thank you for the opportunity.
So thank you. So I would say, Mary Michael, that's so exciting to hear. I'm so glad you're using that. And let us know if there are any inconsistencies you found. Definitely. That's super helpful.
Yeah, I have some notes for you, Rebecca.
Great, great. And then also if you don't have, like, if you need info about anything or it's incomplete, like, we have all that info.
No, it was actually really good. I was just trying to give information that wasn't on the, I'd wanted to make sure, like, I wanted to confirm Sean Peterson's tribal affiliation because it says Puyallup, but he's also Tulalip, so I want just, you know, little details. It took me a little bit longer, but it's good. I learned so much.
How was your experience, Sarah?
It was good. I'm actually glad that you got the Lincoln Gate because I went to photograph it and that day was perfectly still. And I was like, it just doesn't work unless it's windy. So I'm glad that made it in there. But I had a gorgeous, beautiful day to go photograph Dune Peninsula. So that was perfect. So yeah, it was good.
Well, I'm glad that you photographed Dune Peninsula because, you know, I have somebody that I share a house with that was like, why don't you go out and do the art at Dune Peninsula? And I said, I think that's a conflict of interest. I'm not, or something. But then I looked at your takeover and I said, Sarah's already done it. So we've got it covered. I really wished that the Dickman Mill headsaw piece was already installed because I really, and I can't wait for that to be, but next year.
Well, you know, an inside tip, it's actually being, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this as a public meeting, it's being stored at the landfill right now. So if you just peek around, it's obtaining its patina right now.
Any other feedback for Arts Month or?
I did have the opportunity to attend the virtual Moon Festival, which I always go to every year in person and just love that festival in general. But they really did a wonderful job. I don't know if anybody else has had a chance to see their work, their website, but there are tea ceremony videos. There are cultural dance and music videos on there that you can enjoy, along with what I'm really excited about, but I haven't got to yet. There are recipes and there's lots of food information that you can participate in as well. So I just thought they did a beautiful job of transferring that
fabulous event to a virtual space. So props to Teresa Pan-Hosley and her team for that. And then I did attend the Barefoot Dance Collective, a film premiere. And you know, dance is, it's really hard to film dance. It's not an easy thing to do at all, but the choreographers, probably 10 to 12 different choreographers, and over half of them, it was the first time that they'd done film for dance, and they did a really good job. It was a great festival. It was in, they broke it down into three parts over the course of the evening and gave people a 10-minute break in between, which was kind of great. And the translation of their initial project that we funded into this film premiere was a wonderful, it was just wonderful to watch how that unfolded. Some great choreography, some great music, collaborations with artists of all kinds, poets. Yeah, it was great.
Our own commissioner, Olivia Allison, also performed in one of those pieces as well. I found that later after I had emailed all commissioners with the info last week about it, but if you, yeah, I don't know if it's still live, but you might be able to catch her dancing in one of the pieces.
Yeah, the whole festival is still on their Facebook, Barefoot Dance Collective Facebook page. Yeah, Olivia's a lovely dancer.
Amazing. I love hearing all these stories. All right. Okay. Do we have an update from our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Subcommittee?
Olivia was going to lead that. Yeah. Wanda, do you want to go first and then I'll follow up?
No, you go first.
You're welcome. We, as with any DEI meeting I'm ever in, we had an agenda and a big agenda and just not enough time to get through all of the really important work that needs to be done and conversations that need to be had. What we ended up focusing on was what is the, not the goal, but what are the priorities for the DEI subcommittee? And some of those priorities were clearly defined. So we would love to incorporate DEI training with professionals in the space. Join us for our retreat at least once a year. So the commission will be a part of DEI training as an ongoing practice for us. We talked about keeping DEI front and center. Maybe it's incorporated into our monthly agendas so that it's integrated firmly into what we do on an ongoing basis. And then we talked quite a lot about the virtual space and how we can utilize that to support artists, the diversity of art and artists, and how can we pair our emerging artists with our artists that are already practicing in our arts organizations. And so how can we use the virtual platform to do that? I don't know, Naomi or Wanda, if you have anything else to add.
I think you pretty much covered it. There's just a lot of, you know, good dialogue about, you know, the future and what the Arts Commission's role and culture should be regarding diversity. And we did include in one of our priorities is that maybe to, you know, compile some information or some kind of a document of some sort, like a living document that addresses, you know, what our role and what our culture is for diversity for the Arts Commission and for new members and for existing members to kind of review and kind of highlight some of the key things that we really think are important for inclusiveness and diversity in all that we do. But other than that, I think you captured pretty much all of it. It's a good meeting.
And you guys went into a good, like, sort of brief summary of it. A lot of time went into talking about sort of training, professional development, and like
right.
listening sessions or community conversations that the commission could have or host around DEI work, and specifically tailoring for artists of color, at least in parts of them. Idea of bringing in outside facilitators for some of these things, as well as tapping into some of the organizations and artists who are already doing some amazing work in the community, and having some themed kind of, you know, like it could be a session on marketing or a session on like moving from, you know, into a professional career or things like that, where artists could hear from other people in the community who've made that leap and you know, see ways in which it has been done. So lots of ideas on sort of learning opportunities and providing artists with the tools they need. And networking, that was another big piece on like how do we connect artists to the resources that are here.
Right. We talked a lot about, in just the network part, about using our colleges, you know, our universities that we have locally, and they often have, you know, their Hispanic American, what do they call them, the groups, or the African American student body or Hispanic American student body and Islamic. So maybe connecting with some of the universities and their groups and trying to get them more involved, and a lot of good discussion around networking, how to do better with networking. I think that was kind of important too, as you said.
So that's kind of what we covered. I think the other I thought was to bring it back to the full commission and see what the full commission feels like, you know, what do you see as the role of this subcommittee, and what would you like to see it focus on? You know, do those mesh with what you're thinking as well? Are there other areas that you would like the subcommittee to consider as well? And this is, you know, these are not things that are set in stone. They're, I think, all the work needs to be malleable as needs change and new ideas come up. But would love to know what the rest of the commission, how they feel about those ideas.
Thank you.
Michael?
Sure, I'll say something. I think it sounds like great work. I'm always struck by, because this is one of the values that has been increasingly important with some of the grant applications and the programs we have, if we could do some sort of pre-training, and I'm thinking of something like every January or February when new commissioners come on board, because everybody comes from their own unique background, and some people use those terms in very different ways, that could meet early in each new year of commission members and try to develop a common approach to the vocabulary and what exactly we mean when we champion these values. It would seem a natural time to do that kind of at the transition when we get new people on.
And, you know, Michael, that's what we talked about when we were discussing the role. That was the one of the bigger discussions, was what is the role? And one of the things we talked about was maybe put together a living kind of document that the commissioners as a group can try to outline or identify what the role is. And that includes what the culture is and what the terminology might be, because you're right, it's different for different places. So I think that's kind of an important one of our, I think we came up with, like, Lynn and Naomi, how many priorities did we come up with? I think we had like several or more, but that was one of the top priorities that we were talking about. So yeah, we did discuss that. It's a good point. Okay.
You know what you can hear? You can just hear the birds. It's almost like crickets, because I can't remember exactly how many priorities we had. If I was guessing, I'd say it's about five.
I'm sorry that I spaced on that. I was typing down a note. I kind of combined a bunch of them, but there was like under training, I had 4 different bullet points, and under sort of support for virtual community, a couple other bullet points. So I don't know. It's hard to number them exactly because it's still a working document, but I, 6-ish things, I'll say.
So is that something that are you looking for the full commission to vote on the kind of the role and for focus, or just want to?
I don't think we need a vote on this right now. I think it's more, and it's not an action item on our agenda, but it was more to get feedback to see if, you know, what was discussed, that overview, if that makes sense for what the rest of the commission feels like.
I think we're looking for, are we heading in the right direction? Does this make sense for us as an entity? What are we missing? What do you feel is important that we haven't identified so far? And then we could bring something more substantial back, share it prior to a meeting perhaps, and then dive into it afterwards.
We talked a little bit about possibly a survey. So that was kind of on the table, but just basically getting feedback from the rest of the commissioners and trying to compile it into something to present to the commission. Say, here's what we came up with. Here's the next steps. Here's, you know, what we think based on your feedback, what our priorities are, and just kind of compile a document for everybody to have. Okay. Not extra work, just a document.
and we're aware that this process takes a lot of thought, and it's not something that people respond to flippantly. So if it's easier to digest and take your time and then email either Naomi or myself or Wanda or all of us and let us know what you're thinking, that's of course always an option too.
Mm-hmm. I just want to comment on just a little, you know, observation that I've been seeing a lot of lately. When we talk about the differences of how people look at and understand what diversity means, because there used to be pluralism, multiculturalism, diversity, affirmative action, but I've been noticing on news shows or news magazines, and they start addressing it, you know, they come out really hard with the hard questions right away, like, what do you think Black Lives Matter means? You know, I'm noticing it's like, before, that was something that I think people would not comment so readily on because they're kind of nervous about it. But I'm seeing that hearing, at least I'm observing this, I don't know about everybody else, but there's more and more open dialogue about those kind of hard issues, those crucial issues. And I think that's really good to see people are talking about it in different platforms, you know, and interviews and the editorials, like it was on News 5 the other night, and I thought, wow, just like that. And it was kind of interesting. I think there's a whole different change about to come about discussing how we feel about those things.
I know Mary Michael and then Sarah both had, I think, things they'd like to add.
Yeah, I'm just, and this probably, it may not even be appropriate for this. I'm still trying to sort of get, I'm not fully understanding how this is going to be, what this committee is doing is going to be used by this commission. And so maybe this is not even an appropriate question, but I'm wondering, since we represent our communities, if there's any opportunity or any, if it would any benefit, well, I think that's a rhetorical question, to get community input from how the community would like to see diversity, equity, inclusion applied to the things that we do and consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be nice if we could get that to also then do those hard 360 looks, you know, on a pretty regular basis to see how, not only how we grade ourselves, but how the community would also grade us in terms of, do they feel that we're on the right track?
Right. Good point.
Thank you. Sarah, did you want to continue?
I was just wondering if there was conversation about getting more diversity on the Arts Commission itself, having more community members of different ages and races. And we talked about a lot of that kind of at the beginning of the formation of the subcommittee. So, and I know it's probably too early to know, but I was wondering if with the incoming applications, if there were the efforts that were made to reach a broader community, if you're seeing any of that reflected in the applications coming in for new commissioners.
That is a good question. I don't know. As of early this morning, there were, I think, 11 applications. All I can see is last names right now, so I don't even get to see the actual applications yet. So it is very hard for me to even know who the people are. I know I've done some like very targeted outreach to certain individuals, and I've seen a few responses from them, and that's why I was encouraging commissioners to do the same, and hopefully you all have as well, as to, you know, instead of just the blanket thing, is to instead of the blanket email blast, is pinpointing specific people and doing outreach. So it's a little hard to say right now. I don't have a lot to go on from what the city clerk's office has been able to share so far.
Yeah.
I'm hoping by tomorrow evening, there'll be even more in there. And then part of what, so we'll be meeting with a couple of council members later this week, I guess it is, to go over those applications and to, they'll be sort of deciding who to bring in for interviews. And one of those things that, there was a subcommittee, I guess last year, I think it was like the Arts Commission seat subcommittee. And part of what they did was put together some like a list of priorities, providing the city council with a list of like basic demographic info of who's currently on the commission and providing some like, here's what the commission would like you to prioritize these things. We can provide that to them. It is up to city council to make their decisions from there, but that is something that I was going to definitely provide to them so that they have at least a snapshot of who's on the commission so far and what council districts and all that kind of, you know, the sort of basic information stuff that we have available. And then they can use that to hopefully help inform their decisions on who they appoint. So.
Mm-hmm. And what time are those due tomorrow, the applications?
I think like plan through midnight, honestly. Yeah, like there's not like a cutoff thing on their system as far as I can tell. So
all right, well, thank you all. I'm glad that you guys are doing that work. That's really exciting. All right, we have staff check-ins. Got Tacoma Creeds.
Hello. Nice to see everyone. I have just a couple of quick things to tell you about Tacoma Creates. Happy to answer any questions. The as I think we told you last month, the Tacoma Creates Advisory Board was officially appointed by City Council, and we had our very first meeting last Monday evening with the 12 new members of this group. So that was great and really lovely to have this group in place and start to get to know them and start to figure out what their role is with Tacoma Creates. Other than that, we are moving forward with our funding programs with all of the crazy amendment processes that we have to do this year. And so organizations right now are finishing up with September reporting, and we are working on amendments that cover their work for October through December. We are putting finishing touches on a new website, which we've been working on for a long time, but any of you that have ever worked on putting out a new website know how much longer it takes than you think. I think that's all that I really need to share at the moment.
Thank you. That's really exciting, actually. I'm excited to hear back. I know some people that are on there, so I'm excited. Our staff projects overview and updates.
Amy, do you have... You're muted.
I don't have anything fun or specific. I'm going to pass it to Rebecca. I'll chime in on the, or do you want to go first?
I was going to say a couple of quick things before we get to public art. You've likely seen, I think, one round of emails from me about it so far, which is the Community Arts Projects funding. So that is out on the streets. The application is out there. I held a virtual online workshop, application workshop for that last Thursday. And then the beautiful thing about workshops these days is they get to be recorded when they're virtual. So that is now online for people if they need, want to look that over. They're due November 9th. And I again encourage you to please, pass the word on to your own networks about the availability of this funding. Next steps on this are to put together a panel, a review panel. And something I did not do at last month's meeting that I forgot about, but I usually have like a sheet that I pass around and say, hey, if you know anyone who would make a great panelist for this, please let me know. So I know we can't do that here in an easy way. If you know somebody who would make a great panelist for Arts Projects funding or for our upcoming TAIP funding, that's the individual artist funding, you can throw something in chat to me directly or shoot me an email. I ask that you send them my way. Don't reach out to the person first to see if they're like, hey, would you sit on a panel? Because I need to like keep numbers of and, how many people can sit on a panel and stuff in mind. But if you know of community members in all artistic disciplines, I'm looking for. So nothing, no one particular discipline, feel free to share that information with me. The other thing that I just want to plug again, because I think it's pretty awesome, is, and I sent out an email this morning, but the City of Tacoma's Community and Economic Development Department, that our office actually used to be part of, but they have these COVID resiliency grants for small businesses.
And oh, yeah.
Specifically for like, they're for small businesses and can be home-based and such. So there's a lot of those around, and there's a lot of those in the creative fields. And so if you know of folks that might benefit from that information, please help spread the word about that. They're $10,000 grants to help support these small businesses. So. That's, I think, all I have.
And Naomi, okay. Michael asked, do they have to live in Tacoma to be on the panels? Or if they work in Tacoma in the arts, does that qualify?
For panels, it is fine for them not to live in Tacoma. We definitely want people to have like a knowledge of Tacoma organizations and Tacoma, the environment here, but they do not have to actually live here for serving on a panel. Good
question. All right, thank you. Rebecca, public art.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Okay, so I had a couple things I wanted to share with you guys. Let me see if I can share it here. have a couple different screens going. Can you guys see a full image or is it just kind of a cutoff image? Cutoff image. Okay. I'll try to make it a better size. Let's see if I can get this the way that I want you all to look at it. Sorry. So I wanted to share Ryan Feddersen's proposal for the Pierce Transit project, the water wall, with you all. We did the final proposal this last Thursday, and Ryan did a great job, and the committee approved it. Ben was there. I'd like him. Sorry, I'm having trouble with this. Sorry, guys. And I wanted to just read the Ryan's words. She's not here today. Does that look okay? Can you mostly see it? Yeah, okay, cool. I wanted to just read Ryan's narrative because I think it does a better job of describing the project than I'll be able to. It's not too long. Do you all have a little bit of a background on this project? Yeah.
I think we've briefly talked about it in the past. Okay.
So this is, you can kind of tell where the location is, but this is at the Pierce Transit water wall, which is on Commerce Street between 9th and 11th downtown. And Ryan Feddersen, Tacoma-based artist, she's a member of the Colville Confederated Tribe, but lives here in Tacoma. So her concept is drawing allusion to the mountain Tahoma, mother of waters, whose glacial reservoirs are the basis of our regional abundance. Mini Tahoma symbolically connects the water wall to our most iconic natural monument. Referencing the language of set design, this immersive installation playfully claims the site for nature in vivid and imaginative ways, including mimicry, scale, color, and light. Bright swatches of paint curtain down the staggered basins, replicating. This is where it was all going to be like linked up nicely for you guys. replicating the fall of glacial waters and appear to flow into the basins of glittering blue pools, graphic overscaled leaves and berries. Of indigenous plants chosen based on traditional associations with healing, sustenance, strength, arch and vivid clusters scattered across the facade. Their color palette is inspired by turn of the century plateau embroidery. Remarkable for its vibrant and intense color combinations paired with abstracted flora. At night, light activates the falls by illuminating reflective glass lenses, making the water seem to glow when looked at from different angles. Colorful LED lighting gently shifts across featured vignettes, which respond to the light washes, highlighting and sinking colors, creating the illusion of moving foliage. The elements come together to generate an immersive environment that mimics a glacial waterfall while deeply infused with creativity, playfulness, and imaginative transformation. I thought she did a nice job of describing the project, but it's basically she's with a really difficult project and location. I think she's pulled together a really dynamic, beautiful project here that really addresses a difficult space in our downtown. She's using static elements to create a lot of movement, using light that'll bounce off the different types of paint in a really interesting way, and using this metaphor of water. This used to be a water fountain. It's going to be turned off, but she'll have all these beautiful waterfalls coming down the facade and then ending in glass, like a glass rock material that'll be in the pools. She's also installing a sculptural piece. It'll be this sun and moon that will change with different lighting. And then using elements that are, she's working with the design team on the plantings that'll be there as well, the lighting, the color of the rails that mimic, she had this really nice, image here, mimic the, I don't know if she has it here, but that mimic like ropes that would be on bridges and reference some of the painting across the street. So she's just done a really beautiful job, I think, of creating an immersive environment with materials that will last in that location and not be problematic, and also don't kind of try to cover up the architecture. So we will be moving forward with this. You all don't need to vote on this because this isn't a piece that's going in our collection, but we're managing them for this, and I just wanted you to be aware of it. Ben, did you want to add anything about the piece or the project at all since you were on the committee?
I don't know really what to add.
You don't have to.
Looking at it, like, again, on my tiny little iPhone, yeah. I feel like she did a really nice job breaking down the scale of that place, because it is so, you know, when you take a step back, it is very monumental, and, you know, the way she described it was a brutalist architecture. And so you can almost see, like, the water is starting to, you know, if you imagine if it was water, what the water would eventually do to this place, it would start to erode. And I don't know, it was really fun being on the panel. I enjoyed it, and I think she did a really nice job.
So thoughtful. And in this corridor also, SpaceWorks is doing a lot of work rethinking their the Woolworth windows, and there's going to be the light cage and the RGB. RBG mural will be there too. So there's this corridor is kind of turning into a really artful place, which is exciting to see.
And they're going to pressure wash the base of the concrete. So, I mean, she overlaid this on the existing, so it'll be brighter too, just from being more clean.
The whole thing will be cleaned up, and then she's going to, I can't wait to see it in person. And the textures, like the paint texture she's working with and light, and it's I'm excited to see it with you all.
And the landscaping.
It's really cool. It's really exciting that Pierce Transit entrusted us to go this route. I'm excited to see where it goes. So I don't want to hold people over time, but we have park projects are still going. You'll see some more of those popping up later this month. You might have seen behind the Ryan's proposal a couple of images of foundations, because there are some foundations going in around town. So Diane Hansen's project, The Rise at 19th, and we also have the Rotators project at Fireman's Park. Are both foundations are in, so those pieces will be going in like next month, which is really exciting. The other thing I wanted to mention to you all is that Amy and I met with some folks from the Human Rights Commission. Is that the correct name, Amy? It's Human Rights Commission, right? So we met with a staff and then their chair to talk about the, they're interested in doing a Black Lives Matter mural in Tacoma on city property. I don't have a lot to share about that. We're excited to support them in whatever way we can to make that happen, but taking their lead on it.
Yeah. And just, we left it with them offering our support as the Arts Commission. What they were going to look at first is, and I don't know if this is how it's going to pan out, but to consider just painting the Black Lives Matter in yellow, possibly even using city employees or something to make that part happen. And then that'll give us time to talk about future collaborations, or maybe bringing community in to paint more, or artists or whatever. So that gives some time to have the statement they're looking for more short term, and then have time to engage more artists in it. So it's not a mural in the sense of commissioning an artist to paint a mural, as much as it is. Do you understand the distinction? It's sort of maybe a two-part approach. We'll see what pans out, but we're here to support them, as we talked about earlier, Wanda, when you made that great suggestion to move in this space also, so.
Thank you. I think it's a great, great thing. And it's really more like, if I'm not mistaken, is it more like a collaboration effort with them?
The Human Rights Commission is the lead, and it looks like they need to have a, they're going forward with some resolution with council. So they were talking to us about it, if they were to hire artists, how would that work? And we just talked about timing and community engagement, and that we can support the selection of artists and, you know, do that part so that the Human Rights Commission isn't, you know, that's not their bailiwick. So we offered our bailiwick, and we're just tracking it and we'll see what happens, but it's a good move and more to come.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
That's all I have.
Rebecca, I'm still waiting for that baby girl picture.
Yeah, I know. I need to. I'm going to write myself a note. And you're not, you can't see the camera, can you?
No. You can just send it to me directly.
She's here. Could you all hear her in the background there?
Squishy.
Lana, yeah. you gotta call in with the video because I will send you a picture.
Oh my gosh.
Getting bigger every month, you guys.
Those eyes.
Okay, I'm mad.
There's a screensaver of my work computer is behind my laptop, and she's looking at this crazy screensaver. So we don't give her that much screen time, but for you guys.
Cool.
Oh, she's adorable.
I'll send you a picture, Wanda.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Are there any advocacy reports? Any funded project updates or any arts events attended? I think we talked about a couple of them that were online. And if you didn't catch them, just make sure and go grab the replay, as the kids will say. Any future agenda items for consideration? All right, it's 7 o'clock, and thank you all very much. We're done.